You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
To the NBA, major news regarding the Los Angeles Lakers. Head coach Frank Vogel is out, according to our Adrian Wojnarowski. Vogel coached his final game for the Lakers on Sunday, a decision that expected to be shared with him as soon as today. Meanwhile, Anthony Davis says he still believes in the pairing with him and LeBron James to make a run. Quote, I think us two can. We've shown that we can. I don't know that's something we just have to reevaluate in the offseason. Upstairs, me and him talking about the season and what we would like to see next season. And kind of just figure it out. Perk back here with us. Stephen A., do you believe LeBron and AD can bring another title to L.A.?
No, I don't. They have a chance because of their talent. The availability of Anthony Davis just puts the kibosh on all of that. KP, let me say this, my man. You know... Anthony Davis, and I hope he's watching this, because I could see him getting a bit annoyed and sensitive and all of this other stuff, right? If you're Russell Westbrook, as bad of a season as you had, the only real thing that I held against Russell Westbrook is the fact that you can't go up in press conferences and say that you didn't have any expectations when you became a Laker. That is just a flat-out lie, or you living in fantasy land. One of the two. That might have been the most embarrassing quote of his career. Okay, can't say that. Just can't. Number two with Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis, my brother, everyone knows you are a superstar talent. You are a superstar caliber player that can make a difference on any team that you are on the court for. No matter what anybody says about you, whether it's Charles Barkley calling you street clothes or somebody else having something to say, the only thing anyone can say about you and the only thing anyone has said about Anthony Davis is that you're always injured. Period. There's nothing else that anybody said. They've never questioned his character. They've never questioned his work ethic during the season. They've never questioned, you know, the kind of person he is. Nothing like that. We never would do that, Anthony Davis. We're only saying you're always hurt. And guess what? That happens to be factual, particularly over the last 2 years where you've missed a minimum of 32 games each of the last two seasons, okay? Anthony Davis is in the lineup this year. The Lakers are, at the very least, in the play-in game. They're playing tomorrow. Book it. They're playing tomorrow or later on this week if Anthony Davis is on the court. Regardless of all the troubles they had, they're playing in this game. Because that's how impactful and great Anthony Davis is. The fact is, you haven't been healthy, and there are people who question what level of commitment he gives to his strength and conditioning during the offseason to prepare it. There are guys, and I was saying this to this wonderful person that I had dinner with last night when we were talking about this stuff. There are guys who get ready, and then there are guys who stay ready.
Yeah.
LeBron James stays ready.
Yeah.
Floyd Money Mayweather stays ready. Kobe, God rest his soul, stayed ready. Okay? Michael Jordan stayed ready. And then you have people who show up when it's time to get ready.
I get it.
But they haven't been living like they stay ready. Anthony Davis is one of those guys that looks like he's getting ready as opposed to somebody who stays ready as it pertains to his conditioning and his strength. And that is why people question his durability. It's the only question anybody has labeled in his direction. But it is a legitimate question, and you have to live with that because we have history right in front
of us. No, he missed 42 games this season, which is half of the season. Yeah, Big Perk, I was staying ready when I was in the gym 5 a.m. this morning. Your thoughts?
I hear that.
Molly, that's how you got to do it. I wasn't staying ready.
Neither was I. I was asleep.
Yeah. 4:30, the alarm went off, and I said, Molly,
I'm asleep.
Yeah.
Are you going
to
be average?
Kendrick Perkins and I are trying to work on that James Harden diet. That's what we want to work. We want to work on the James Harden diet. You be in the gym. We going to work on the James Harden diet.
Let me just say one thing real quick, though. If you work out in the morning, there's no excuses. I find if you wait till the end of the day, there's always an excuse not to do it. That's why I get up in the morning.
Very inspirational, man.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Perkins. Yeah. Go ahead, Perkins.
That's a great point. You know what? I do think the pairing of LeBron James and Anthony Davis could bring a title back. I really do. Look, LeBron James, at the age of 37, averaged 30 points a night. He's still giving these young boys in the league that work. And if Anthony Davis, and I get it, Stephen A., it's a big if because of his history, you know, as far as his injuries and things of that nature. But if AD could stay healthy, yes, those two combined healthy, yes, they could win a championship. But it all depends on what we talked about at the top of the show. What is the front office going to do? What is LeBron James going to do? Because he played a role in assembling this team that they had this year, too. So he can't get off the hook as well. And I love LeBron. I love what he brought to the floor, brought to the table on the floor. I didn't like his offseason additions off the court. That's another story. But it comes down to what is Rob Pelinka, how they're going to construct this roster, what culture they're going to bring in. And I get it. It's a lot of ifs. But I'm not giving up on these two as far as them being able to handle their business and deliver a championship, because LeBron James is not going anywhere anytime soon. The same stuff that he showed us this year, he's going to show us next year. The way that he played at the extremely high level, mm-hmm. if the Lakers had a better record, we would actually be talking about LeBron James as an MVP candidate.
That's true. I totally agree with you. I was doing my
All-NBA list, and I said to myself, I get it. There's 16 games under 500, but how can I not reward LeBron James for making an All-NBA team? One of them. I didn't say first team or second team, but just one of them. That's how special he has been this season. But look, to Anthony Davis' injuries, I get it. We want availability. And you and I had this conversation over this weekend, right?
Yep.
You and I had this conversation over this weekend.
Yeah.
You know, it's certain injuries, though, that he had, and I had to think about
freak injuries.
That was kind of unfair to him. Yeah, like he couldn't control the rolling on somebody's foot for us with his ankles and things to that nature. But look, I would tell Anthony Davis this. If you're going to go out there and talk that noise and say, yes, we can win another chip and we can do some things and do some damage if, mm-hmm, you know, right, we stick together, mm-hmm, then you got to back it up.
Hey, man, let me invoke the greatness, a great quote from our former president of the United States, Barack Obama. Love that man, by the way. It's not about yes, he will. It's about yes, we can. That's what he said, right?
Mm.
That doesn't apply to Anthony Davis. Allow me to count the ways. 2018, although because he was trying to get traded, Anthony Davis missed 26 games. Do you know why people questioned the legitimacy of the Lakers' title in the bubble? Let's bring this up. Put KB up back on that screen because I want to see my brother when I'm talking to him. This is a big deal. KP, you ain't going to deny this. They played there's 62 games, whatever, right? Keep this in mind, bro. People are not questioning the greatness of LeBron and not trying to delegitimize his title because it was in a bubble. They're saying bubble play resumed after a four-month hiatus due to the pandemic. What they're saying is, had it not been for a pandemic, Anthony Davis would have got injured. That's what they're saying, okay? So what happens? The next year, Anthony Davis comes back. He misses 36 games. This year he comes back, and what happens? This year he comes back, and he's missed 42 games. Actually, it wasn't 42.
42, that's 40 what I
games.
Had.
Yeah, 42 games. So he actually missed 46 games the year before. So what I'm saying is you missed 46 games one year. You missed 40 games this year. That's 86 games he's missed in the last 2 years. And so when you look at it from that perspective, all you're questioning is – Anthony Davis, this is no question. Listen, it's a freak injury. It's not your fault, et cetera, et cetera. But all that means is that he can get hurt by anything because the durability that other people have available to them, he hasn't been blessed enough to have. It ain't his fault, but it's a reality. That's why you got people talking about, whether or not he should be traded. Nobody would dream of trading Anthony Davis voluntarily if that brother could give you 70 games a year. You just doubt that he'll be able to.
Right. But Stephen A., see, I agree with everything you said except the one part about the bubble, because it could work the other way as well. Think about it. Having 4 months off, not being able to train properly, not right. being able to get up and down, and then all of a sudden you go to the bubble, and now you step into the high intensity of the play-in and playoffs. Like, your body may not hold up.
No,
then. You have a higher chance of – no. I'm saying to the people out there, not
right,
you.
Right.
I'm talking to the people out there because I hear those same things. So my thing is this. Yes, I get what people are saying for us, the four-month layoff, but it could have worked the other way around as well, like soft tissue injuries or whatever the case may be. We could have saw guys get injured. So I just wanted to say it's a give and take for us when you talk about the bubble situation, not no other point.
It's a give and take when you talk about the bubble situation, and I'm with you. I don't delegitimize the Lakers title with LeBron and AD. They earned it. That was a hard, hard time for all of us to endure, and they made it worth our while. They salvaged the NBA season, and they deserve a lot of props for that. I'm simply saying that when people look at Anthony Davis, it is legit to question if the season hadn't been interrupted, would he have been healthy enough for the playoffs? Because something always seems to happen to him health-wise. And he has to accept that. Don't be salty about it. Be salty if they're saying you can't play. Be salty if they're saying that you're not a team player or something ridiculous like that. None of those things get thrown in Anthony Davis's direction. He's considered a great player, a quality person. We got love for the brother.
Yeah.
But durability is an issue, and he has to accept that because it's a fact.
Well, you heard him in the quote. Him and LeBron are going to get together, reevaluate, and figure it all out.
Well, him and LeBron need to get together. He needs to go wherever LeBron goes and follow LeBron around all season long to make sure he's doing the same workouts LeBron James doing. That's what he needs to do.
Good deal.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
We're starting off our first take draft blitz series with the Chiefs, the first of many teams that we'll highlight leading up to the NFL draft. They traded Tyreek Hill to the Dolphins. They lost some veterans on defense. They brought in Marcus Valdes-Scantling and Juju Smith-Schuster, and they'll have 12 picks in the draft. And Dan Orlovsky on the record here tweeting that the Chiefs are the most fascinating team in the NFL draft. They're tied with the Jaguars for the most picks heading in. And Dan, kind enough to moonlight with us. Hello, sir. So good
what
to
up?
See
what
you.
Up? Molly, I gotta be honest here.
Okay.
Before we get into this conversation, I was driving up from home up here, and so I got my radio station on ESPN Extra because I want to listen to the shows. Mm-hmm. Stephen A., you are on one today, man. Like, you are. I almost got into an accident listening to you about Ben Simmons.
Oh, yeah.
And back. And how it happened.
Yeah.
And then you talked about all your roles and you called yourself a superstar, bona fide daily superstar. I wish people at home could have heard what just went on in the commercial break. I mean, you can't pay enough for that 90 seconds. You are on one today.
Hey, listen, man, with Ben Simmons, it's the truth, man. Dan, he ain't played since last June. How the hell you got a back injury? What you been doing? You know what I'm saying? I want to know.
Atlanta?
I mean, what you in Atlanta? What did you tweak your back? I mean, something wrong? Hey, tweak this hip? Something up. You ain't played since last June,
Ollie.
Man. And I don't get nobody personal life. It's their business. It's not mine. But damn, you ain't played since last June, Dan Orlovsky. You ain't touched a basketball since last June, but you got a back injury. How? How are you not ready to play?
I wish people could hear the commercial break. That's what I wish.
Oh, no, please, no.
Look at me.
Please, no. I like my job.
Just do it.
Dan, why do you think the Chiefs are the most fascinating team in the NFL draft?
Yeah, I think because it for them, the draft is a franchise-altering draft. I think in many ways, Molly, it could be an NFL-altering draft. My breakdown is this. This is a team and an organization that has been to four straight AFC championship games. And in the graphics, you guys kind of diagnosed a little bit that what's going on with this football team. First of all, they lost their defensive leader in Tyrann Mathieu. And I understand they replaced him with a really good player and Justin Reed. This guy's led their team in takeaways over the last 3 years. He is their leader. And then they trade away their second best player, and certainly second best offensive player, in Tyreek Hill. And they play in the toughest division maybe in the history of the NFL when we think about how good the Chargers are going to be and how good the Broncos are going to be and how good the Raiders are going to be. And they play in a conference that I think legit has 7 bona fide Super Bowl contenders. 7. That's not me being hyperbolic. That's not me hyping up. There's 7 legit Super Bowl contenders in that conference. And they got 12 draft picks. That is historically up there with some of the most a team has had in the history of the NFL. And you got 2 ones, 2 twos, 2 threes, and 2 fours. I look at it like this. If they do a good job drafting this year in this draft, the Chiefs are set up to be unlike any team in the NFL for the next half decade. But also, I think it's a blueprint for the NFL in this regard. Once you have your superstar quarterback, do you start to find that one piece that you can decide, we're going to trade him away, we're going to get a ton of draft picks to start to rebuild our roster? Because we all say it and we all know it. Once you pay the quarterback, it's really hard to have the complementary team around him to go win a Super Bowl. If the Chiefs go and do it with this draft, then it alters everybody's kind of viewpoint on how they're going to handle their football team moving forward when you decide to pay your quarterback.
I mean, there's a whole bunch of ifs in that big soliloquy that you just threw out there. Hell, if you have blue suede shoes, they call you Elvis. What the hell does that mean, okay?
You love Elvis, but you've never seen this before.
Dance to the jailhouse rock. All I'm trying to say to you is
Dan, okay? Dan, hold on. Dan, he wants to know, the gravedigger himself wants to know, Ben Simmons. I want to know what Stephen A. Smith did last night, because this is just...
I'm telling you.
Did he get a massage in his sleep or something?
It's another level of you today.
It's Monday. I'm well rested. That's what the deal is. But I mean, that's where I'm coming at with it. I look at Kansas City. Listen, when you say fascinating, I mean, damn, what does that mean? You got Tyreek Hill.
Fascinating. What the heck do you think it means?
Fascinating usually means a very beautiful thing. It might not be so beautiful. We don't know yet. We assume, okay, that you know what? They got all of these picks. They're going to make something happen because Andy Reid is still there. Eric Bieniemy is still there. We get all of that. All I'm trying to say is this. Tyreek Hill is gone. Juju Smith-Schuster is there now, along with Mecole Hardman. You know what we know about Juju Smith-Schuster at this particular point in time?
He loves TikTok.
He ain't doing TikTok no more.
He declared
that he will not be doing TikTok this year. Yeah. Thank God, okay? Because before he was doing TikTok, he was doing his thing. When he started doing TikTok, it jinxed him. So now he'll get back to being promising player that he is, because he's healthy, he's going to be healthy. And I believe in Juju Smith-Schuster, and I genuinely like him. I'm just saying, you in Kansas City, you got some stuff to prove. The cheetah is the cheetah. That is a profound loss. And all of these picks that you have, it's so you could ultimately find somebody like the cheetah, Tyreek Hill. It's so you can ultimately find somebody like the honey badger, Tyrann Mathieu. I'm looking at stuff like the Sorensen. Let's not forget him. They lost him, too. I'm just looking at some of these things
right now.
And I'm just saying. I know that I'm saying you're talking fascinating. All I'm saying to you, Dan Orlovsky, is I'm not so sure that it's going to be a great thing. Patrick Mahomes is great. Travis Kelce is great. It helps to have them, and I understand it. I'm just not so sure that it's going to amount to all of those things you say it's going to amount to. I hope so. I'm not betting against Patrick Mahomes. But do I have my trepidation? Yes.
Yeah, but that's my whole point. I'm not guaranteeing that they are going to hit on all these draft picks. They've got a track record. But that's the thing. This team has been to 4 straight AFC title games.
That's correct.
They got the best player in football, the best quarterback in football. And this draft is paramount for them to hit on it with guys that are going to be really good right away, because they play in the toughest division of football.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think it should be more of a priority? I think that they've changed course, not just because they want to run the football a little bit more to get the ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hands to some degree so they don't get him beat up, but also I think it's really, really to buffer their defense, because their defense can't continue to put your offense in those precarious positions where you need the heroics of a Patrick Mahomes in order to save the day. I think that's why all of this has happened in the Kansas City. You think
totally.
I'm wrong?
No, totally. And there's my point is 4 straight AFC title games, 1 Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I get it 4 years ago with the offsides and all that could have changed against New England, but it didn't. 2 years ago, you go through the lack of depth on your offensive line. You get hammered by Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl. And last year, your unwillingness to run the football, there is this philosophical change. Absolutely. That's part of the whole offseason. It's part of the challenge or the not wanting to pay the quarterback and the wide receiver all that money. Absolutely, it's part of a philosophical change.
It's very simple, right? You said four straight AFC championship games. Two of those were Super Bowl appearances, won one and lost one. When has a team just played an AFC championship game and they have 12 picks in the NFL draft? That's what makes it extremely fascinating.
Absolutely. And Molly, the big thing is those eight in the first four rounds.
Yeah.
You're not going to hit on all eight, but if you get five good players in that eight, you're not only going to be really good again this year, but you are setting yourself up for, again, the next half decade of we're in a better position than anybody in football because of it.
Right. It's just a rare scenario.
It's a couple of things that I need to say, and I need to veer off of this subject because I know we got to get
ready to go.
It's a couple of things that I have to say. Number one, the jacket is fly. You didn't comment about that, Molly, so I'm going to give myself the jacket.
It took till 11:24 for you to compliment yourself today? This is a first take record.
That's number one. Number two.
It's a seven.
So is your outfit in the head.
Thank you.
It worked.
Neon green.
Number three.
I did my own hair.
Number three.
It was a struggle.
Yeah, I hear you. Number three, after you worked out. Number three, and more importantly.
I worked out early.
One of three, and more importantly, I think you asked Dan Orlovsky the wrong question.
What
you should have asked Dan Orlovsky, have you been flying lately, and do you still have your wife and coach?
We have not flown lately.
That's what I want to know.
We have not flown lately. We go next week. It's spring break for our kids' school. We are in coach. There's no question about it. Down there and back.
You're not putting your wife
don't
in
you
first
have
class
air miles?
Still?
I don't understand.
And she's even still there. With you? She hasn't left you yet?
Do you see my face?
Oh, my gosh. I hope there's room for your luggage when you're way back there.
How can you be so...
Might have to gate check it.
How can you be so shamelessly...
We're 38 and 39 years old. We don't need to be flying first class just yet.
Why not? Why not?
Because we don't need to.
Live a little.
I got four kids. My four kids need to learn that that's not
what
you give it to you.
Put the kids in coach. I'm talking about the wife.
You want me to sit in first class with my wife and then our four kids be with random strangers in the back?
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Let them talk to the passengers. That ain't your problem. Let them don't forget the passengers. Let them they'll survive as long as they're on a plane with you. The key is to take care of the wife. You put the wife in first class, okay? That's what you do.
Well, here's
you
the
make
thing.
Sure you take what? Care of her. I mean, I taught you better than this. This
Stephen
is embarrassing.
Oh, will you make a couple calls and maybe I can start sitting in first class with my wife? But until then, we are going to buy seat 27B. We're going to sit back there.
Oh, near the bathroom. That's convenient.
So
you're
back.
Right near the
you're
bathroom.
You're back by the second
I got to get six seats, Molly. I got to get six seats.
I know. It's hard out here. It's hard. It's hard to be Dan Orlovsky. Stephen A., I do like the jacket. It reminds me of Roy Williams, but I like it. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. If you didn't know, the big men are back. Joel Embiid clinched the NBA scoring title yesterday, even though he didn't play. Embiid averaged 30.6 points this season and is the first center to win the title since Shaquille O'Neal in 99-2000. Embiid edged out Giannis Antetokounmpo. He had 29.9, who also didn't play in the Bucks finale. Big Perk back with us. But Stephen A., I'll start with you. Is Joel Embiid the MVP?
Kendrick Perkins is going to kill me over this.
Oh, boy.
I have a vote, Kendrick Perkins. I voted on everything but the MVP. I still ain't turned in my vote yet. I can't make up my mind. I got until damn near midnight tonight. I still haven't turned in my vote. I'm that perplexed over this. Kendrick Perkins, I don't blame anybody who picks any of these four. Embiid, Jokic,
Giannis, and Booker. Obviously, Luka is up in there as well. Mm-hmm. But I think about Giannis, most dominant force in the game. When you look at Embiid, most talented, when you consider what he can do on both ends of the floor and how phenomenal he has been, even though I do look at the blowout loss to Brooklyn, the loss on his home court to Brooklyn and Denver, that does count against him a little bit because you're in that MVP chase. And obviously, Jokic was there as well, even though he had good numbers that game, but Denver won that particular game in Philly. I look at Jokic and what he has done without Jamal Murray, what he has done without Michael Porter Jr., the numbers that he's put up, 2,000 points, 1,000 rebounds, 500 assists, just phenomenal. And I look at Devin Booker. It's a damn shame. 27-5-5, best record in basketball, 47 games over 500, 12-3 without CP3, you know, but I also look at the fact that knowing the race is tight, KP, you sat out the last couple mm-hmm. of games. That matters when you're chasing that MVP and you know the race is that tight. I'm going to make my vote in the next few hours, but I got to admit, I go back and forth every 5 minutes on one or the other. That's how close it is for me.
Well, I ain't never known you to be scared. That's the first thing. Second of all, look, I got to vote. I got to vote as well. And I voted already. And let me help you. Let me persuade you over to the Joel Embiid side of the MVP candidate race, okay? This is why I voted for Joel Embiid. Forget the fact that he won the scoring title, the last center to do it with Shaquille O'Neal, who, by the way, won the MVP. Forget the fact that Ben Simmons quit on him at the beginning of the season, and he had to say, you know what, let's go to war in a tougher conference and make noise and still finish a top five seed in the Eastern Conference with all those powerhouses that's over there. Forget the fact that you acquired James Harden because of your play, and when James Harden get there, James Harden tends to struggle, and now you have to carry him too. Look, here's the thing. The 76ers had no room for Joel Embiid to play bad. And why I say that is because when you look at the East, Stephen A., the 76ers finished 51-31. They finished fourth in the Eastern Conference. The 10th seed, who is the Charlotte Hornets, is 43-39. They're four games over 500. So let me move you over to the Western Conference. The Denver Nuggets finished 48-34. The 10th seed, who's by the way, is the San Antonio Spurs, they finished 34-48, meaning they're 14 games under 500. Meaning Jokic and the Nuggets had some wiggle room because they're in a weaker conference. I'm not knocking Jokic, but all I'm saying is what Joel Embiid had to do in the East and overcome his superstar caliber counterpart and Ben Simmons quitting on him and having to go to war with him without him with the guys he had to
all
lead.
Of that I thought about.
And now James Harden get there and he's struggling. Well, I want you to continue to struggle and don't get lose track and start getting scared on me, bro. I ain't never known you to be scared.
First of all, I want to get it right, and I want the right person to win the MVP. That's all I mean by that. But secondly, I'm going to bite a line from Don King. When I asked him years ago, I said, you complained so much, Don King, you should retire. He said, you know what, Stephen A., from your lips to God's ears, I think I'm going to think about that. That's what he said to me. And I'm going to think about that. From your lips to God's ears, I'm going to think about that. I'm going to listen to that argument that you made about Joel Embiid, an argument that I have on his behalf, by the way, in all honesty. And it is a tough struggle, but here's why it's also tough.
Oh, it's not.
Devin Booker.
No.
We have barely mentioned him and his greatness and the greatness of the Phoenix Suns. I can't ignore it. All I'm saying is I might vote for Embiid. I might not. I got a few more hours, and I'm going to use it before
I make
a
decision. It's very easy to make decisions in life. You go with your first mind, your gut reaction. Have you ever read Blank by Malcolm Gladwell?
I don't give a damn about Blink with Malcolm Gladwell. I respect
him. Well, it's an exceptional call because clearly you struggle with decision making.
So what?
You want to go with Devin Booker. You want to go with Devin Booker. You've been talking about just go with Devin Booker.
Well, listen,
Joel Embiid when you want to go with Book.
I didn't struggle with the decision that I'm committed to trying to find out what the hell Ben Simmons did to hurt his back. Struggle with the decision to try to figure out why the hell Matisse Thybul got one shot. Instead of the two,
okay.
I didn't struggle with the decision that you look nice today and you upped your game because you usually got on Nurse Betty boots. I didn't struggle with the decision to put on this blazer and think that I'm pretty damn fly in it.
Roy Williams.
Okay? I didn't sit up there and do that. I mean, in this particular decision, I'm struggling with it right now. I'm struggling with it, right? That's what I'm dealing with right now, Molly. It's a hard decision.
Gotta get him today.
Okay?
All right. Let's all take a moment. Let's leave it here.
Okay. Let's leave.
April 15th is a special day in baseball, but this year, it's the 75th anniversary of Jackie Robinson shattering the color barrier and setting the stage for momentous change in society. Robinson was on the front lines of the battle for equality and justice, and when he was in the military, he confronted and challenged racism daily. Today, an accomplished jazz artist shares a unique perspective on that defining episode in Robinson's life, part of our series, Black History Always.
Jackie Robinson, an American hero, my own personal hero. I have written a suite called Stealing Home with little vignettes addressed to aspects of Jackie or his career. What led me to Stealing Home and that piece there was the rhythmic nature of this guy's name. I kept saying Robinson, Robinson. So I finally got Robinson, Robinson. And then when I addressed the idea of his period in the military, see, that's when I started to get into Jackie Robinson's head. I said, so this guy, he was drafted into the military. Jackie went to boot camp like everybody else, became a good marksman with the M1, was a good soldier, was a good American. And at that point, they needed some black officers. He becomes a commissioned second lieutenant. Now, he had some bad experiences in the Army, especially as an officer. They're on a military installation, and this local bus driver, not in the military, tells him to go back on the bus. But this is probably 10 years before Rosa Parks. And that particular instance, of course, Jackie said, oh, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm a commissioned officer in the United States Army. And this guy tells me, you can't sit here in this part of the bus, go to the back. What? Right? And there's this woman sitting there, a white woman, who said, I'll get off the bus or I'll call the police or whatever. I said, you realize I'm getting ready to go to Germany and fight these Germans for you? What is this? You want me on the back of the bus here, but now when I get over there and we're facing these panzers, this German infantry, where do you want me then? You want me on the back, or you want me in the front? You see, so there's a lot of pain here. And so I decided to address that facet of his life because I think that may have been Jackie Robinson's introduction to what things were going to be like when he got into baseball, except that it was going to go up exponentially.
Lieutenant Jackie is the first cut on the CD that Bobby Bradford and friends recorded in honor of Jackie Robinson's 100th birthday 3 years ago. It's titled Stealing Home. Please join us again tomorrow as we count down to April 15th with another firsthand reflection in our series, Jackie to Me.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Let's get into a quick take. Congrats to Scottie Scheffler, who won the Masters in his first major championship. Also impressive, though, Stephen A., that Tiger Woods walked all 72 holes at one of the most demanding golf courses in the world just 14 months after that horrible car crash. What a Tiger for you.
Without question. To me, he won the second he stepped on the course and was able to go through the 4 days. Major, major props to him. But Scheffler played his tail off, and give him props to that too. I'd like to see somebody like look like David Beckham or somebody win in the future, though. That's just me.
What?
Just me. I like the look. I want that golf. I want to see somebody.
David Beckham, you mean soccer?
I know that.
I'm so confused.
I need somebody with box office appeal.
Oh my gosh.
You know what I'm saying?
Stephen A. wants sex appeal.
Tiger to win it, but Scheffler, major props to him.
Oh my gosh. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Perk, this got us thinking. Who's the most disrespected star in the NBA right now?
It's Trae Young. Oh, the most disrespected star. You know why? But yes,
salty
it is.
Knicks because fan.
We don't give him. Yeah, I know. We don't give him enough credit for what he brings on a night-to-night basis. When we talk about one of the most unguardable guys in the NBA, Trae Young is one of those guys, and you can go ask anybody who has to check him. Right now, Stephen A., he's sixth in the league in scoring. He's third in the league in assists, so he's making guys around him better. And I get it. People say, oh, he's in a nice spot, but he's in a better conference right now. He's in a better conference, and he has his team 4 games over 500. So my thing is, when I'm looking at Trae Young ball and hand people that work night in and night out, when he steps onto the floor and he has to go against other superstars, go look at the numbers, go look at the results. Trae Young is right there at the top of them, especially in the fourth quarter when it's time to close.
Kendrick Perkins, you are so wrong on this one. It's ridiculous. And here's the reason why.
Wow.
I don't know anyone who doesn't have profound respect for the greatness of Trae Young. This man was drafted and they swapped picks with Dallas just so Dallas could take Luka. And even while we're talking about Luka, we talk about Trae Young, because if Trae Young had wet the bed and didn't deliver the goods, then Atlanta would have been excoriated because Luka is that dude. But we know Trae is that dude too. He's a miniature dynamo. He's all the things that you said in a bag of chips. And he bows at Madison Square Garden after blasting the Knicks every time he shows up at the Garden. I would know that better than anybody, how he has victimized and abused the New York Knicks. He should be arrested and incarcerated for the beatdown and the assault that he religiously puts on my New York Knicks. All we know about Trae Young ain't none but profound respect for that young brother's greatness. And we know it with the ATL and the whole nine.
Devin Booker is by far the most disrespected player in the NBA. This is a brother that was in the NBA Finals. This is a brother that we looked at in terms of his game, not on the level of Kobe, but very Kobe-esque in his pull-up J, some of his footwork, his ability to shoot perimeter shots, how he can drop 70 in a game, and all of this other stuff. He's playing for the number one team in the NBA. He's playing for the team that's the reigning defending Western Conference Finals. And you know what we say about him? He's lucked up because he's got CP3. He's lucked up because he's what he's surrounded by. He's lucked up because he's got a great coach like Monty Williams. All of those things are maybe true in terms of the credibility of those players around him, but nothing should take away from the greatness. He might not win MVP. Hell, he might not get either one of our votes, but in the end, I put him in a conversation for a reason. I talk about his greatness for a reason because we barely ever hear anyone else, not talking about you, but we barely hear anyone else talking about the greatness that this brother puts on display on a night in, night out basis. Devin Booker barely gets a mention. Trae Young is talked about all the time.
No, he's not. No,
yes,
he's not.
He is.
Devin Booker is talked about amongst his peers more than Trae Young are. And
oh
you
my
know,
God.
I'm on Twitter
that is
all
not
day.
True.
I'm on Twitter all day long, and we could go pull up
you got
the receipts.
Me there. I'm not
how many times,
like Twitter like you.
How many times, Stephen A, have we seen former players and current players tweet out about Devin Booker? Whether that's him for us being in the MVP conversation, him being disrespected, him not making the All-Star team, whatever the case may be, we see guys tweet out and say things about Devin Booker.
Because he's
we
not getting
not
the recognition.
But we don't see that same energy with Trae Young.
Because they know everybody talks about Trae Young.
Hell, Atlanta don't even recognize Trae Young like they
everybody
supposed to.
Everybody talks about
it
Trae Young.
Be no empty,
stop it.
It should
everybody
be no
talks
empty
about Trae Young.
So, hold on. So, time out. You have a superstar caliber player in Trae Young. And Stephen A., don't sit up here and lie to me on First Take. If me and you was to go to a regular season game in Atlanta, do we expect the arena to be sold out?
Oh, that's not fair. No, you're being slick. Oh, I got the answer for that one. No, we don't expect the arena. Hold on. We don't expect the arena to be sold out. But you know the reason why. Hold on. Wait a minute. You know the reason why. When you talk about Atlanta, you're talking about, basically people migrating to the ATL. And by the way, I'm sorry if it's beyond the pale to say this, but there are far more distractions in Atlanta than there are in Phoenix. Okay? So, I mean, let's just call it what it is. In Phoenix, first of all, you barely got people. I mean, after the first month of the season, they barely want to go see the Diamondbacks, okay? Okay, let's get that out the way, all right? The Arizona Cardinals were relevant this year, all right? But that's recent memory since Kyler Murray arrived, all right? It's really about the Phoenix Suns, but at the end of the day, it's close to L.A. All right, now you got Vegas in the vicinity. There's a lot of things that's going on. That would be the reason. But there is no question that when you talk about people who are not recognized enough, it is Devin Booker. Trae Young is very recognized, and we all know it.
Let me ask you something. When was the last time you talked about Trae Young on this show, on First Take this season? You talked about Devin Booker more than you didn't acknowledge Trae Young.
Well, that's because of the last week of the MVP conversation.
Right.
Before that, I didn't talk about Devin Booker
at all. I don't know what happened today. It was just a lot. It's just a lot for me.
Right.
Stephen A. was a lot.